Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Jared Payton.
I always feel smarter when I get off the phone with you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit Pater. Touchdown, Titans.
College football national champion.
Well, Miami has erased all doubts about the national champion.
Son of Walter Payton.
Yes, still celebrating in the ring, ladies and gentlemen. The bad guy raised him up, along with Walter Payton and Walter's son, Jared.
Sports anchor for WGN.
Your experience playing running back in the league, how do you feel about when and where gun runs should be used?
You know what? I can't stand them. I literally can't stand them. I just think they need to line it up in the eye, and they got to keep figuring out whether it's ISO, whether it's outside zone, whatever is working.
We got Jumbo with Kramer in the backfield.
The mini fridge. Kramer, the fullback.
Running God's play down there was pretty good.
The Jared Payton Show today.
Jared Payton with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
JP is the man. You can check him out on Channel 9. GN Sports is an awesome show. And he's become a great contributor here at The Score. He joins us now on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. What's up, JP?
Hey, fellas. Let me just tell you, man. That's Montez. Oh, my God. Dude, as soon as I heard Shane's voice, I was taking a sip of my Diet Pepsi and literally spit it all out to my monitor in my car, man. I'm still trying to wipe it up. That was, whoever thought I would need, I need another episode like right now.
Worried about both your monitor and the loss of the quality Diet Pepsi. Jared,
yeah, don't worry about it. We're cleaning it up. It's all good. How you fellas doing, man?
We're good, man. We love That's Montez. We love Montez. We even enjoy the way the Flues talks about Montez. He's enjoying him. By the way, Montez needs to have a big week this week, by the way.
Didn't see a lot of Montez in last week's game.
I think the matchup last week was a tough one for Montez, and they focused on it. This week, in terms of the tackle, ought to be a little bit easier, but Jared, he's got to show up, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the biggest things that I've been talking about and that we've been talking about on GN Sports is this, you know, you look at Montez and what he means, and even coming into this year, you guys, you know, having those conversations. I mean, you expect so much with all the addition, especially on the offensive side, but the one person that you thought was going to be consistent and that dominance was going to be there was Montez Sweat, and that hasn't happened this season. So at some point, Montez has got to be Montez and come out and start figuring out how to get after the quarterback. And to me, this week is – the Sunday is kind of sketching out to be that right time for him. So hopefully he can get going, because that just adds another element to that defense. But I also know when you are good in this game, man, people try to take you out, man. They scheme on you all the time, and it is tough. So to be dominant in the NFL, going up against the best of the best, it's not always easy, but the good ones find a way at some point to kind of get theirs.
How much fun is it, since we're talking about the defensive line, to watch Andrew Billings?
Oh, man. I mean, I'd be afraid. Like, if I was a running back and knowing, just seeing how much room and how much space he occupies on that line, it's phenomenal. It's just to be able to have a run stopper like that on a defense, and a guy that just starting to – that he just feels it, to me, is always fun to watch. It's always – I have this battle when I'm watching games, because especially when we're watching Bears games, where I'm trying to focus on the defense, but then an offensive guy, I'm trying to see what the offense is doing too. So it's like this tug and pull. It's hard to miss him when he jumps off the screen of being able to be that guy to kind of plug things up. And Javon Dexter as well, man. Like, guys making plays. That's what you want to see. And to me, the defense, I know Montez has his own show. The defense needs their own show, man. There's so many different kids, right?
I don't know, man. He's moving into programming.
No, I mean, look, a spinoff is totally fine.
That's
how we got Family Matters. Granny, is because he was a spinoff.
Granny gets a show before Javon Dexter. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Lawrence just said I'm one of the best contributors on the air, man. Like, why can't I help?
I'm in support of this. If you look at some of the great spinoffs of all time, like the Jeffersons,
yes.
Right? Or Family Matters,
mm-hmm.
Off of Perfect Strangers.
How about Benson? Benson, he was a butler
and then
on
Soap.
And
he became
Soap.
The governor, yeah. We think. Because remember, they left the series finale as a cliffhanger.
Hey, real quick, while we got some grudges and beefs going on, who's the producer in? Keith, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
Keith,
the day?
Yeah, shout out to Keith, man. Great segment off the top. I do got a bone to pick with him, though, man. He's bringing in drinks and bourbon for Wanstead, but he didn't bring me no Hennessy. So him and I, we got beef, man. So he's got to figure out how to get me some Hennessy.
Keith says, get your ass over here, Jared. You never come in studio. You got that little TV job you're worried about.
Hey, Keith. Keith, maybe you know what? Since Keith is having a day, I was thinking about this. Maybe we do this. Maybe he hits me up at one day. Keith comes out to St. Charles, and him and I sit down and have lunch at one of my restaurants on me. Him and I, we'll make it happen.
The arms just got raised from Keith. Keith's pretty excited about it. He's in.
I'm down for that, man. But good, great part. I love the fact that he's there today and kicked off the show perfectly.
Yeah. Well, Keith, you can come to one of my restaurants, but that would just be one that I go to. Jared actually owns the restaurants that he's
right.
talking
he,
about.
He can actually hook you up. And give, you're just coming to our house. Like, that's all we're doing for you. JP, I find myself to be, and I've been talking with Speaks about this for the last few days, I'm a little uncomfortable with this game. And the reason that I'm uncomfortable is because I know that there is at least greatness in Trevor Lawrence. We haven't seen a ton of it over the last couple of seasons, but it's in there. They're not as bad as they look to me. I'd love to know how the Jaguars look to you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a scary game, Lawrence, and you just never really know. But, I mean, the Bears should go over to London and be over there and take care of business. It's always difficult when you're – you know, playing these overseas games and people trying to get acclimated. I know you can go early. The Jags, though, this is what they've been a part of this. They got, even though, you know, you talked about their schedule being altered just a couple hours, still they're used to all this. Trevor Lawrence does have greatness inside of him. They just haven't figured out a way to be able to bring it out on a consistent basis. And I think that's the tough part. I don't, as scared as you are, and I'm always worried about this Bears team week in and week out, I'm not. I don't think I'm worried this Sunday.
Okay,
I think they're gonna go handle biz, man. Like I really do. I think they're gonna go. They're gonna be over there. They're gonna handle their biz and just doing what they have been doing. Even if you consistently and stay diligent in running the football. DeAndre Swift and Roshan have been showing that they can kind of carry the load together, however you want to do it. And then just watching the development of Caleb Williams, man, has got me so excited over for right now, where we are from this game to, I heard you guys talking about the Commanders game. Like, there's something that's here over the next couple of weeks here that we're going to see. But this young man keeps on getting better week in and week out. And yesterday, I couldn't hold back in the office when we were just listening to DJ talk about him being bossy. And to me, I love that about this young man, that he is full on embracing the leadership role and that he's not afraid to get in people's grill if they're not doing it right. If you want to be great, you got to expect greatness. And I love the fact that we're seeing that from a rookie quarterback that wants to be great. Like, this is like all been in the cards. You can't script this out and make a movie. Like, this dude said at one point he wanted to be the first overall pick. And so that passion and excitement that you saw coming out when he's walking out to get that jersey and take the picture with Roger Goodell, that wasn't fake and that wasn't forced. This dude is expecting greatness from himself and how much he puts into his craft. And lo and behold, that he's holding people accountable. Guys like DJ Moore, who are proven in this league, man, you can't – That's the kind of quarterback I want to be playing for.
See, that's really interesting stuff right there from Jarrett Payton. And it reminds us of something we came to believe, if you're following closely to Caleb Williams pre-draft and then draft. I think this is a guy who has literally been made for this. Like, yes. He wants every bit of this. And that means, yes, that means he has thought about and he is ready for a veteran like DJ Moore to call him bossy and give him some attitude and all of that. And he's ready to smile at that and ready to take it and deal with it and volley back with him a little bit. So in that sense, I loved hearing that dynamic yesterday. Like, go ahead, DJ, say it out loud and smile and do it Caleb's way again next week, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I do. It's crazy to think about, Speaks. Crazy to think about, but it seems like every move from a little kid and yes, from Pee Wee was like a step to where he is now. And like, that's hard, man. I got a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old, both really, really good athletes, man. Like, my daughter and my son, like, really good athletes. Like, I see it in them and what they're doing, but I could only imagine the next level stuff that Caleb has done in every move, every situation. And to get to this point and actually to be here, it's not like he's not just, oh yeah, I made it. Okay, we're good. No, it's like, I made it here. Now I'm here to show people like how good I actually can be. And so there's going to be ups and downs. We've all said that there's going to be ups and downs, but the fact is that this dude is wired differently, where even in those bad moments, he doesn't use them as like these roadblocks. He uses them as stepping stones to something greater. Like, I got stopped here. Well, I'm going to figure out a way to be able to make this into a positive. And that's what I see from him. And you can't, that's something that is not like, it's either in you or it's not in you. That young man has it. And that's what makes him have the ability to be special moving forward.
Obstacles are fuel. That's the way that he seems to, yes, take it. Absolutely.
Jared, did you ever feel any of that pressure? Because, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but you were a soccer prodigy. Did you ever feel any of that pressure where, one, you were going against what your dad was played, and two, that you were one of the best soccer players in the country?
Yes, Lawrence, I really did. I felt the pressure only because people would be yelling at me all the time. I'd run down the soccer field and, like, you know, 12, 13 years old, and people would be like, "You'll never be like your dad." And I would stop, like, taking someone to school on the sideline and be like, "Yeah, well, I'm not even playing the same sport. Like, what are you talking about?" But my pops would always preach to me, "Don't be like me, be better than me." And as a kid, I didn't understand that. Now, as a grown up, he wasn't talking about it as sports. He was just like, "Yo, be yourself, be who you are, but just be a better person to in the world when you walk around." And I take that as a badge of honor and something that I wear on my sleeve every single day. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard on me. And I'm starting to see it's hard on my kids, too. Like, my kids deal with it everywhere. Like, my son's a little bit older. My daughter's about to start feeling it a little bit because she's playing some soccer at a high level. She's playing 2 years up. She's third grade right now. She's third grade. She plays with fourth and fifth graders, but she also plays with sixth graders. So she's like starting to feel it a little bit. And so my thing to them is, man, just stay focused, man. Stay focused and have fun. And if you can do that, don't worry about what your grandpa did, what your dad did. Be you. Be the best version of you that you can be. And if you're having fun, that's all that matters. And that's kind of the way that I live my life.
It's a fascinating topic, actually, because we're filled pro sports right now with the children and the grandchildren of professional players. I mean, when Jackson Holliday hits the bigs for Baltimore, everybody's like, oh, well, that's just because he's Matt Holliday's kid. Oh, no, that in some ways, that's in spite of being Matt Holliday's kid. Like, you got to overcome that stuff mentally and psychologically, right?
Yeah, it is. It's tough. And I talked to my sister, man. We always kind of think about this all the time, like how cool it would be for the two of us to kind of travel around and like actually talk to, you know, other brothers and sisters who are other athletes. You know what I mean? Where like just I could imagine us sitting down with Peyton and Eli, like having that conversation and like just it's very, very interesting to know what other people even. Marcus and Jeffrey Jordan, like I just know my relationship. I was a little bit older than them, but I just know, you know, just what it was like growing up in the shadows of having a famous father that was a GOAT. And then you're trying to find out your own way in whatever you're doing in the same sport. It's difficult, man, but hey, if you love it, you love it and you got to push through it, but it makes you stronger, honestly.
And plus sometimes you would just wake up in the middle of the night and Michael Jordan would be at your house because he kept losing at cards.
Dude, I mean, like crazy stories. Like, I just thought about this the other night on the Manning cast, right? Where Archie was talking about my dad being the best football player that he's ever seen. And then he said that my dad called him to say, like, when Peyton was born a couple of days, weeks after, whatever, he's like, I thank you for naming him after me. And Archie's like, nah, I get it. We spelled it differently. He's like, my dad was like, I know it's love for me. But then lo and behold, when Eli was with little, so we were at the Pro Bowl, and it sounded like in the 80s, they were looking for Eli all around the pool area, and they couldn't find him. And Eli told me this a couple of years ago. They couldn't find him. And everybody's freaking out. Where's Eli? Where's Eli? They couldn't find him. Lo and behold, Eli is with my dad on the beach, like building sandcastles, and they all found him with my dad on. It's just crazy. And now that him and Peyton are both Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winners, like how cool is that?
That's amazing.
That's amazing, man.
That is awesome. Young Eli making sandcastles with Walter Payton on the beach. That's outrageous. Did your dad ever take you to England? I'm picturing young Jarrett Payton at Hanbury Manor, where the Bears are playing, getting strolled around jolly old London. No?
No. I only got a chance to go to the Pro Bowl. But, man, playing football overseas in the NFL Europe era when I was there, possibly the best football I've ever played and the most fun that the game has ever been for me. And just, I remember getting on that plane, going to Amsterdam and then flying over, having practice the next day and just trying to like be acclimated to, you know, the time change and playing and like not and eating and getting right on the schedule. So lo and behold, Matt Eberflus getting his team over there early on. I love that because it really does help you going through the process of getting everything on the field right as well and getting your body right to be able to make sure you can perform at a high level.
The Amsterdam Admirals, a major part of the win in World Bowl 13. I forgot about that chapter of Jarrett Payton's life.
Come on, man. World Bowl champ, man. We were World Bowl champs. I was, what else? All first team NFL Europe. So, man, I was balling out there, man. I was like 218 running over people. Man, I was having a good time out there.
That's phenomenal. JP, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us. And I hope you're right. I hope you're right and I'm wrong about this game because I'm just uncomfortable. But I'll go with your expertise over mine on this one.
Hey, I know. But I do share, Lawrence, the same distaste that you do with the Vikings right now. Like, they're messing everything up right now, dude. See, everything.
This is why you're one of the best analysts here on the Scores, because you actually listen to the product.
I know. It's unbelievable. By the way, Jarrett, we're going to segue to another guest, and you both played in the same game. The Orange Bowl on January 1st, 2004, Miami against Florida State. Our next guest, who's James Coleman, was at Florida State. He only had 2 carries for 9 yards. In this game, Jarrett Payton had 22 carries for 131 yards. Well done.
Yeah, that Orange Bowl MVP. Appreciate you guys, man. Tell them I remember that every time I wake up in the morning and see the trophy. Thank you.
We will do that, JP.
Tyrone Moss.
Jarrett Payton.
Brock Berlin on that team. Roscoe Parrish. Devin Hester. Kellen Winslow Jr. All with on that offensive team with Jarrett Payton. Damn.
When we come back, we will talk with James Coleman. We'll get his thoughts because now he covers the Jaguars. We'll find out if this team is dangerous at all next here on The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Sexton in the shotgun. Here's pressure from Seiler. He throws it underneath. He's got the fullback, James Coleman. And Coleman across the 15, out of bounds near sideline. And near the first down marker, near the 18-yard line.
And now here's Ricks handing the ball off on a running play. They get the ball to the fullback, and James Coleman barrels over the 40-yard line. That'd be enough for the first down.
Leon Washington checks in
Or to Seminoles at tailback. And he'll pitch it to him. Going to turn the corner. Puts a head down. Did he get it over the cone? Yeah, they say touchdown. James Coleman with a good block on the play.
You are looking live at Dope Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee, Florida. Chief Osceola prepares to open another season for the Seminoles of Florida State.
Ball is just outside the one-yard line. Here's the fullback again.
Oh, that's a great run by Coleman. I think everybody thought the play was over. He kept spinning and spinning and spinning.
Both fullbacks are ahead of Booker. Second down and goal for Rutherford. Straight ahead. James Coleman, the fullback, the 260-pound senior who inside the five Bowden will use, powers across for the game's first score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
It's a beautiful thing about working with Chris Tannehill. He is going to bring you out. That's the way it should work when you have someone coming on your show. And we've got someone coming on our show that can tell us a little bit about Jacksonville and what's going on with the Jaguars. James Coleman works for First Coast News Florida, football analyst for the Sports Den podcast. James, thanks for being available for us. We really appreciate you jumping on the show.
I appreciate you having me.
So first things first, how would you describe what's gone wrong in Jacksonville over, let's call it, the last 12 weeks of football in Jacksonville? What's gone wrong?
They almost figured it out in Houston, but I told some of the Houston fans when I was there, hey guys, 4 minutes is a lot of time for the Jags to jag. And then last week, I mean, even then, I'm going to be honest with you, 7 seconds with the lead seemed like an eternity. But, you know, sometimes the best solution to bad things is winning. Winning cures everything, and they won. So, good.
So, can you give me those adjectives before mofos again?
I'm going to call it a BAM. You got to have BAMs. I mean, I don't want to get you guys. I'm podcast, so I can say whatever I want. But I say bad ain't mofo. So yeah.
I think we can say badass. I think we're good, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, then cool. A badass mother person.
But that edit we appreciate. So I'm gonna go ahead and connect that to the lack of leadership that you mentioned, and I'm gonna go ahead and connect that to the reports we heard of Doug Peterson maybe losing the locker room. You tell me how that all plays out. What kind of chaos are we dealing with here between the roster and the head coach?
I think, again, it comes down to winning. Winning will win you the locker room all the time. If you lose, losing is contagious. Winning is contagious. I don't believe in the adage of losing a locker room. I mean, I've been in locker rooms. I've played before. When you start winning, have you ever heard of a bad team with a good culture? And have you ever heard of a good team with a bad culture? So, winning cures all. But I will say that some of the things where Doug has talked about and his allegiance to Press Taylor at times and how you saw a guy, Caldwell, last year getting fired because his team didn't do what they needed to do. You see accountability in spurts, and accountability is not consistent. Hmm. So when accountability is not consistent, you don't necessarily lose it. People just feel bad. And when you see guys like Travis Etienne continue to be the starter, but you see a guy like Tank Bigsby be the better running back, you start seeing guys be like, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, now they're starting to change that. If you look at the last 2 weeks, Tank Bigsby has been getting the lion's share of the carries when it becomes running, and they've been running the ball better. You see Trevor not getting chewed out for overthrowing guys, and it's crazy because in the Houston game, he had 3 touchdowns that he just literally overthrew. He didn't overthrow him this game. So it was like, cool. I even on video said, man, we're trying this thing where we throw it to the guy and he catches it and we score. It's amazing. That's an interesting strategy.
That Monday,
that's kind of where it comes down.
That Monday night game was a nightmare. And look, I'm a Bama guy, so I'm used to seeing Trevor Lawrence do well. And seeing Trevor Lawrence struggle the way that he has been – it's been disheartening. What's happened? Because if you go back to the comeback playoff game and you go, okay, here's the moment where Trevor Lawrence arrives. What's happened in that window since then where you go, wow, this maybe he isn't the franchise quarterback that most people thought he was going to be?
As a Florida State guy, I saw both Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne terrorize me. So, I'm very disappointed at times. But here's what happened. When Doug came in, we knew we had a quarterback that we should call it surviving Urban. here in Jacksonville, how bad it was. Like, we should, if I had the money, I would do a Netflix special for it. But Doug comes in, and what he does is he brings in so many quarterback guys, coaches that were former quarterbacks or quarterback gurus. What was his name? Jim Bob Cooter, one of my favorite names in all of sports.
Yeah, we remember him when he was in the division here in the NFC North.
Yeah, didn't he go to the Wendy's without pants on? Isn't that Jim Bob?
No, I don't think that was him.
He woke up in a lady's house that he wasn't supposed to.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. My bad.
So, hey, who? Sometimes good Cooter does that to you. But but when I think about all of those guys, it Doug's cool, calm, and collectiveness coming in, and I tell people, good coaching in the NFL will make you at least an average team. It's hard to be as bad as the Jaguars have been in the 17 years I've lived in this city. It's easier to win a Super Bowl than to be as bad as they are. So they came in, gave them some direction. Those guys left, and they felt Trevor needed to took the training wheels off of them. But he needed one more year with that. So you saw that kind of last season to get down, and then this year. And he doesn't have the consistency with the receivers. They brought in Ridley. And him and Ridley couldn't get on the same page, so they got rid of Ridley. So you bring it, but you had Christian Kirk, who was doing well. You had Evan Ingram. You lose Evan Ingram some of the last season. You lose him this season. He hasn't been out there. You got to go out there with Brent Strange. And, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him, but, you know, he's okay, but he ain't Evan Ingram. So you're going out there with guys that you that aren't making plays. But you bring in Brian Thomas Jr. You bring in Gabe Davis. You have Christian Kirk, who I believe is just one of the best number two wide receivers that we've seen in recent history. And he hasn't got on the same page as them. So now he's on the same page, at least the last 2 weeks. And you got to hope to build from that.
So we're with James Coleman, who's just absolutely outstanding. I got to apologize to Joe Cullen and the family of Joe Cullen. He's the assistant coach who went through the Wendy's naked.
Yes.
I don't want to put that on Jim Bob Cooter.
He did something else.
Yeah, he's got enough. All right, you mentioned, what would be your favorite scene to produce in the Netflix documentary about Urban Meyer? What's the story that you would like to map out and show in that Netflix documentary? James.
Well, here's the thing. As a guy, I was former fool. I used to like to fight, and I've seen people get kicked before. I've never seen somebody get kicked that didn't deserve it. Like, Kevin Hart had this thing where his girl got kicked in the face, and he's like, "Don't look at me. Anybody kicks you in the face, you saw it coming." When he kicks the kicker, I want to map that out, and I want to like really just because one, kickers aren't people. Kickers like they don't practice. That you only need them for one thing, and like they choke, and like you got to think of all the years you've been getting CTE, and then this guy trots out there. He don't have to hit nobody. Your job is to kick an oblong object through two sticks, and you choke when you do it at times. I need you to be 100% automatic if that's your only job. So I want to show. I'm going to show it from Urban's point of view, the kicker's point of view, and the team's point of view. Because clearly, you got kicked, and then you didn't even stand up for yourself. You kick me, you're going to have to kick me out the league. Because it's going to be an impression left on you. And I'm not going to just do the news either. I'm going to you're going to do the news about me. Because I'm going to put my foot up your behind. I'm going to show you how to get kicked. Have you ever seen Urban get kicked 50 yards? That's what you would have seen in practice that day if he kicked me.
Gonna be some smoke in the city, as Bernie Mac would say.
Well, what they call Jacksonville to bang them, and it's a very tough place to be around. Urban would have got an opportunity to see how tough it was to be in Jacksonville. But he kicked the kicker. You notice he did not kick a real person.
But they still ended up getting him up out of there, though. Yeah, so, you know.
He got out of there.
Brian Thomas Jr. was my favorite receiver in this year's draft. How's he doing?
He is amazing. Again, I've only seen the only person who stopped him is on his team, Jerrion Jones, in college. He literally is. We haven't had a guy that could take the top off of a defense in quite some time. A lot of people remember Allen Robinson, but Allen Robinson was a 50-50 jump ball guy. Brian Thomas Jr.'s routes and his explosiveness are what make him a weapon, and you have to take an account. So even when last week the coach tried to go two high safety to stop it, and they couldn't. I mean, excuse me, it went one high safety. They had to go two high safety to stop it. You know, you know who hates that. Mel Kiper just thinks that the two-high safety just got developed last year. It's not like it's not been around since the invention of football, but, you know, so they do that to stop him, and now you got guys like Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk that can get involved. But, like, his – like, again, he ran like a fade, like, I don't even want to call it. It wasn't a slow go, because a slow go is a slant and go. It's like the opposite of that. But he just got behind the safety, and again, it went for six. And they got a pose. It was frozen. I don't know who did it, but the DB dives out. And I just said, that reminded me of Soulja Boy. Tell him he tried to Superman that. And I've never seen it like on a pro level before. Like, it's like Pop Warner, where you want to show you gave effort. And I'm like, brother, that's not that. This isn't an effort. This isn't I-9 sports, where it's like you just, it's not an effort league. Like, you either get it done or you don't. But it was, again, I like Brian Thomas Jr. He's amazing. I said him and Trevor Lawrence together is like coffee and beignets. It's an awesome combination.
So can he make the contested catches, though? That's what I was a little afraid of, is that he doesn't have that go up and get it thing to catch the ball in traffic.
We haven't really seen it as much, but that's where Gabe Davis comes in. That's like, everybody got to know their role. You got to know what your ministry is. His ministry is, I'm going to outrun people. Gabe Davis's ministry needs to be the streets. And I call it, that's when you're going up and getting them contested balls. Like, he got to go out and get it out of the mud. And that's what we need. That's really actually, when we go back to the culture, too many people don't know their role. You got to know what your role is. Like, tight end's role here in this is be nasty and mean and fight people. Gabe Davis' role, catch them contested passes, man. And we haven't had that yet. But if that comes on, it's going to be there'll be a pretty good ball club.
So James Coleman, a fullback and a badass fullback. Fullback is gone away, James. It's crushing. It's crushing just to us. I imagine it's got to hurt your soul a little bit to see most teams not even roster a fullback.
You know, in this political climate, America was great when we had a fullback, when more teams had fullbacks. And we'll see America made great again. Because I can tell you this, that people tell me nobody uses the fullback, and I tell them that's where you're wrong. All the good teams use fullback. The Ravens use a fullback. The 49ers have Juice. The Chiefs used to have one that was pretty damn good as well. Those are the teams that consistently make the championship. So if you want to be good, and you know why the Jags won, they didn't have a fullback, but they went two tight ends and they shifted one of them basically in a 3-point stance in the backfield. And that's why they won the game. I have this saying, if you want to win, get a ball to the damn fullback and you'll win.
Well, you're going to enjoy this, because what the Bears have been doing over the last couple of weeks is that they've moved a backup offensive lineman, number 68, Doug Kramer, into the role of fullback.
And your quarterback has been throwing the ball better now.
It's true, see? Actually. It's true.
I'm saying, football's not as complicated as people make it, man. Get a damn fullback and punch people in the mouth, and you're going to play MF for ball, throw the ball where there's less MFers at, and run the ball where there's less MFers at, and you're going to win a lot of games.
That's why Power O is called God's play.
God's play. No, seriously, though. Like, that's right. You show a defense you can run the ball, they get scared, they get beaten up mentally, and then all of a sudden you can do whatever you want to them, right, James? That's how it works.
The worst way to lose is to give up a bunch of rushing yards. It's just because a pass, you can pray that they'll drop the ball, right? But if you're just getting destroyed, you're just like, oh my God, the game is only like 3 real hours. It becomes 7 in football years when you can't stop the run. And it's just, I mean, and it feels good. Like, you know, injuries don't hurt as bad when you're beating up on people. Like, you ever notice people's hamstrings really get tight when they're losing? Like, hamstring, have you ever seen a hamstring injury in a blowout, on the good side of a blowout? It's only on the bad side of blowouts. But like, good smash mouth football, up there where you guys are at in Chicago when it's cold, it's dope.
I wish we were in the Jaguars division, Lawrence, so we could talk to James twice a year.
I do too. James, God bless you and your ministry. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
That is James Coleman. We appreciate him for jumping on and telling us about what the Jaguars are up to. There's another stadium conversation that we need to have.
Because everybody's talking in England, man.
Yes, and George McCaskey is the latest person to do so. We'll hear from him next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're the largest landowner in Arlington Heights.
Yet they don't seem to want to spend a lot of time there in Arlington Heights. They
They prefer downtown. They prefer the city. This is Spiegel and Holmes.
Tell you what, man. You know what we are. We often are. The Chicago leverage. They're trying to use Arlington Heights as leverage. Now they're trying to use the lakefront as leverage. It's all getting leveraged together.
I do wonder, when it comes to the conversation about the stadium, if ownership is on the same page as Kevin Warren is.
I think they are. You know, I think they are.
I think they are, too. But why don't we take a listen to George, and you can find out for yourself if you think that he and Kevin Warren are in lockstep on what it is that they want to do.
George, Ted had a vision for a stadium in Arlington Heights. Kevin has one in Chicago. For you personally, especially having known Ted for so long, is that conflicting at all for you?
Not at all. We want to go where the best deal is possible, where it's the most feasible financially, politically, geographically. And the lakefront is an excellent site. And we think that a roofed stadium just south of Soldier Field can be great for Chicago, for the region, and for the great state of Illinois.
Kevin said that the goal is still breaking ground in 2025. That's 2 months away. How do you get there?
It's 14 months away.
Well, I can't do the math on that.
That's why.
Too much.
Yeah, way too much math.
Yeah, sometime in 2025.
So what's the next step in terms of, it sounds like securing public funding is still that next step. Where do you think things are in that realm?
Yeah, so there's a veto session in November. There's a lame duck session in January, and then the spring session right after that. So at some time in one of those sessions, we're going to have some sort of enabling legislation to allow the project to move forward.
Do you share his confidence level that you'll get a shovel in the ground next year?
Yes, we're confident in Kevin.
You at one point were happy with the idea of Arlington Heights, and even leaving Chicago, you said, you know, change isn't always a bad thing. Do you still feel that way? If that becomes the option, you guys own the property out there, will you be happy still if the stadium ends up being in Arlington Heights?
Well, right now our focus is on the lakeshore, and we'll be happy if a stadium is built just south of Soldier Field.
So was the 2 months thing about the General Assembly?
No, the 2 months thing I think was just about 2025 is coming, and he's like, well, we've got all of 2025. It was extended, the 2 months or the 14 months.
Yeah, but I do wonder if that has to do with you have to get funding by the end of the Assembly for you to break ground in 2025.
I think it was a semantics issue about sometime in 2025.
Because, I mean, 2025 is 3 months away.
Right, so two was wrong to begin with. But like, but then he mentioned three different sessions of the state, you know, getting together, the veto one, the lame duck one, and the one in the spring. So even if they get pushed all the way to the spring, and then it happens there.
Still hard to get shovels in the ground by... But whatever.
If it gets voted in the spring, could they get shovels in the ground by November and keep true to their word of 2025, theoretically?
I think it's interesting where George is, where he says they want to be where the best deal is possible. Now, obviously, he's saying, like, we're with Kevin, and Kevin wants to do the lakefront, and we think that a dome stadium on the lakefront would be great. But I keep going back to, that's the most important thing. Where's the best deal?
Yeah, they want public money, and they would need less public money or they would need more public money to do it in Arlington Heights than they would to do it on the lakefront, because they'd be able to supply some, and they think they would get it for the lakefront because it'd be tied to the city's needs, is the idea.
I at some point, someone smarter than us, someone with a background in finance and who understands the ownership of the Bears, is going to have to explain how this could work financially, because I do think that the pivot does have something to do with, do you have enough cash to finish the project that you originally wanted? And did someone come along, and maybe that person was Kevin Warren, and go, rich people don't spend their own money. Y'all don't have to spend your own money on this thing in Arlington Heights. Let's see if we can get someone else's money for you to spend on the lakefront or in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, I mean, he's really trying to get the public money based on his experience of getting it in Minnesota not too long ago. And there is a belief that the Bears brand and what they mean is big enough to get some public money. I believe that that is still very much possible. And there's a lot of people who are very strident on this, not $1, and do not want to see any of it go, and I understand. I think it is possible that they can still sway Springfield and get some in one of these scenarios.
I think they would need a lot of things to change for that to be the case, but we shall see. But it's interesting to see where they're aligned on some of this. Let's get back onto the football field itself. Mark Grody wants to talk Bears with us, and who are we to not give Mark Grody an opportunity to do that? He's next, Bears on the Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.